Welcome to another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. We like to talk about movies, sports, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
And I'm the Fat Man, otherwise known as Bruce.
Back again. I know we posted several episodes at the beginning of July / end of June. Not sure when this is going to post. We have been pretty undiligent in our recording efforts as of late, which I mean means I'm sure our editor has been just with all the time in the world. And the second we get her this episode, she'll be suddenly super busy again. Because that's how life works. So, but yeah, we figured we would do an episode, kind of a state of the union, state of the podcast episode, and where we're going from here. And then probably talk about some stuff we're angry about, potentially in sports.
We're going to Tijuana.
South of the border, down Mexico way, I met a girl. She stole my liver.
Yeah.
So, Fat Man, how's life been?
Well, some changes. Got engaged. Yay.
Yay, Fat Man's engaged.
And got a job. I am now a postal worker.
It's going to kill us all, ladies and gentlemen.
I might if you dumb bastards don't stop ordering packages.
Hey, Newman, how come postal workers always, you know, go insane and kill everybody? Because the mail never stops coming, Seinfeld. just keeps coming. And coming. No matter how much of it you give back out, more of it comes. And it just keeps coming.
And there's the magazines. And it's Publishers Clearinghouse Week. Because believe it or not, like, a lot of your mail does get sorted by a computer, but then there's stuff that doesn't, like magazines or political stuff. A lot of times that stuff doesn't get sorted, so that it has to be put in with the mail. And then right now, you would be surprised at how much of the stuff you buy on Amazon actually gets delivered by the United States Postal Service. And just like everybody else, horribly understaffed.
Yeah.
Most of the time I work 6 days a week, and then there are days like, because of 4th of July and I had that day off, meant I had to work Sunday at another post office doing Amazon delivery.
Sunday.
And I learned a lot. Believe it or not, despite the United States Postal Service being part of the executive branch of government, they get no tax dollars to operate.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in fact, a business. All of its money comes from money that is paid to us by Amazon for delivering their packages, and then for your stamps and stuff that you people actually mail.
Yeah.
So, but it's been interesting. It's a good job. It's a tiring job. Other than that, enjoying some TV, watch The Acolyte. Got a couple more episodes left. Actually, the second to last episode dropped today. Should be today,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it yet. Well, I try to watch it Sunday.
I haven't watched any House of the Dragon yet.
Neither have I. Mainly, I don't know. House Targaryen's not the house that I'm most interested there in, even
well, so. No. Everybody loves the Starks, right?
Right.
Even though when you really think about it, like the cold, bitter North, that has to be a really cold, bitter family history with a lot of terrible choices and deaths and eating of one's own family, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Donner Party kind of a way. I mean,
winter's coming, better have a bunch of babies.
Yeah. How do you think the Flayed Men got the way they got?
But how about you, Pat?
I my job is really grinding me into the ground. That's the best way to put it. And that's been the story of why we haven't been recording just a whole bunch lately. Other than that, I've been doing a lot more recording on other podcast shows. Part of the StarQuest production network.
You son of a
Yeah, I know. Secrets of Star Wars, Secrets of Middle Earth.
Secrets of my foot in your
Yeah, I know. Secrets of tech, Secrets of movies and TV. So I'm a regular on all of those. If you want to check them out on the podcasting app of your choice, hopefully I'm gonna do some cross promotion so I can tell people over there about this podcast and get some more people over there to come over here. I have a request from one of the guys I regularly podcast with on three of those. And that is if we ever do Jurassic Park, that he is 100% in for coming in on that show.
Okay. Okay. That is a good one.
I mean, yeah, we could spend a lot of time with Jurassic Park.
Oh, I think.
Dissect the heck out of that.
Yeah, aside from the fact that it's definitely one of those childhood movies that, you know, I remember seeing. Mm-hmm. Like when our parents talk about when they saw Jaws, that's how I feel about Jurassic Park.
Scared the bejesus out of me.
Not even so much that as it is that it was just a epic movie theater movie.
Yeah. I mean, it was that too, but it also scared the crap out of me. Like it, like I, after seeing that, like every loud noise was now a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Every door opening was now a raptor about to come in my room and eat me.
I don't remember being terrified. Maybe my
imagination is better than yours, Bruce.
I just remember just thinking how cool it was. Like it was just like dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, see, and that's his memory too, and I think. Maybe my 1 or 2 years on you guys was enough to scare me. I don't know. And more empathy? I don't know. Been watching semi-disappointedly The Acolyte as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping they really bring it home in the last two episodes. They've got a chance to really make something good if they do it right, or make something really bad if they do it wrong.
And I think that pretty much sums up Star Wars lately over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see what they might be trying to go for and you're like, ooh, that could be interesting. And in the end, you're just like, boy, that just got watered down to absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You did nothing with that. And then you told me you're going to make more of something that I'm like, okay, thanks for handing me this bland gruel and telling me I should expect more.
Yeah. It's been, I don't know, because I enjoyed all three seasons of The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Season 3 was kind of rough in the middle, but it was a good beginning and a good end.
And only because you were like, you thought that maybe the middle stuff should have been its own season, because it was
right.
It was like little mini quests, and you're like, oh, that would be a cool like season onto itself, you know,
3 or 4 episode arc instead of
right
half an episode.
Right. And then like you said at the beginning, there was stuff there that really didn't pan out in the end because maybe you were expecting more, like the pirates, you know.
Yeah,
I wanted more with the pirates because like that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know, it was a little hokey, but pirate. I mean, you know, space pirates. Hell yeah.
Yeah, Swamp Thing, Captain, I'm all on board for that.
Right, but you got like an episode of that, and then he shows up at the end just to die. You're like, ah, well, that was wasted.
Right, exactly. And I feel like all the Moff Gideon stuff was crammed into like 3 episodes at the end, and it should have been its own full season arc,
right,
more or less. And Ahsoka was good?
Yes, exactly. That question mark at the end was... Okay. just because, again, you're not really sure where they're going with it.
Right.
Thrawn's back. Okay, Thrawn's back, but where is he going?
And so is Jimmy John, whatever his name is. I don't know. Ezra? The kid. Yeah, whatever.
But, you know, as long as they keep showing us, you know, Hera's butt, you know. As long as we keep getting the butt shots.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just Hera. I forgot. There was Hera, and then there was the one with Sabine.
Yeah, there was Sabine. Basically, any female character had a pretty solid expose of her lower anatomy clothed.
Her derriere.
At some point in the season. Well, I always find it funny. Hera was never shot, like, just from... never shot from just the neck up, and never shot in a single scene from the waist up. So like in every scene she's in, we always get a full body from the back shot of Hera. I'm sure it helps that her director or her boyfriend's husband. I don't know.
Her husband's Ewan McGregor, I thought.
Yeah. I thought he was involved in one or more of the episodes.
Oh,
Yeah. Either way, it was enough that somebody made a fake Lego fake Lego meme of her Lego character where you put two extra orange dots on the back of her pants on the top holes on the Lego legs, simulating the bazanga.
But it's funny because like all of these things that we've seen, and it's like they're finding ways to put everything that was in the Thrawn trilogy into separate parts of all this new stuff, saying, see, we're giving you the Thrawn stuff. And you're like, or you could have just did the Thrawn trilogy. I mean, could have gone that way.
Yeah, I go back and forth on that because like everybody's like, oh, they should have just done Timothy Zahn's Thrawn trilogy. And I'm like, yes, but the whole fake emperor thing was kind of hokey, to be honest.
Well, like,
I know he was whatever the heck he was.
He was a clone Jedi that went insane because he was a clone.
Yeah. Well, no, you're talking about Luke, right?
No, the clone Dor Sabayoth was a clone of an old Republic Jedi that the Emperor created. Oh, okay. And the reason why in at least in that expanded universe, the clones went crazy was because when they were, according to the book, when they were born, you know, created, is that being in proximity to each other with the same kind of with the exact same force energy made you crazy because you would feel the pressure in your head. And so that constant pressure in your head made you go insane. It's like having a headache you can't get rid of, ever.
Interesting. Okay. I still thought he was unnecessary to the story.
It was more about the cloning and him being a clone. And then I think Zahn was trying to, because they mentioned the Clone Wars in A New Hope. And so I think he was just trying to show about how clones were. And it showed a very devious way for Thrawn thinking about how to control a galaxy. He's like, yes, because I could tick people off less if I don't need to conscript them into the army.
Right.
And I could throw my minions at the enemy as much as I wanted because I could just replace them.
Yeah.
So, but things like the Islamarine, I thought those were kind of a cool concept.
But some of the other shows like Andor just knocked out of the park.
Yeah.
I mean, that show was amazing.
It had really good writing.
Yeah.
Really good writing.
You get to the movies that they actually made. The Force Awakens was really good. And Solo was really good.
Yes.
And Rogue One was pretty phenomenal.
Yes.
Right? But then The Last Jedi was a waste of a movie. and then, you know, The Rise of Skywalker was, you know, an attempt to...
It just started bad
because Last Jedi...
It just started on bad footing, and, you know, there were lots of reasons for that. And both, you know, the director of The Last Jedi and J.J. Abrams for The Rise of Skywalker to blame for all the stuff, but it just showed that they tried to go with something, realized it didn't work, and then doubled down on that mistake by trying to go backwards.
Yeah. Well, and the funny part to me is that I think The Last Jedi was a good movie if it had just been by itself.
Right.
But the problem was it was part of a trilogy and it didn't fit.
And it really, again, because we've talked about this off the air, but how it seems like nowadays the thing to do is to discredit good things and then to make you think that bad things aren't that bad. Yeah, so in this one, like, you know, in The Last Jedi, and I don't know if we've talked about it on this podcast, but it was to tell us that, you know, Rey isn't important and that, you know, heroes don't have to come from an important place to go. But that's not how epic storytelling works. That's not how sagas work. That all in epic storytelling, your characters have to be important in some way. They can't just be nobodies. And so that's what essentially that whole movie did, you know, from the time that you first see Luke toss his lightsaber, the lightsaber that he got that was his father's and then that was handed to him by Obi-Wan, and just toss it over his shoulder like it was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just started off bad, and I was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you had, like you said, we've had some good stuff, and then we had some stuff where we're like, the hell?
Yeah. And that's kind of been the same over on the Marvel side of the ball. I mean, some of the stuff they've produced since our last chat mm-hmm. has been really good. And a lot of it's been kind of, eh. I haven't even gotten through Echo because it's just not interesting enough to make me pay attention.
Oh, that's the one with Kingpin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the out of the, what is his name? The Arrow guy, Hawkeye series. She's one of the bad guys from the Hawkeye series. She can't hear. And so she's sort of the Daredevil counterpart.
Right.
Because he can't see. She can't hear. So she sort of develops the super sight because she can't. She can hear with her seeing in the same way he can see with his hearing. But I'm like two episodes in and I can't get any further than that. And on the other hand, Loki season two was, I mean, Loki one and two together are possibly one of my favorite
yes. like
shows of all time.
Yes. Like,
they're so good. It's ridiculous how good Loki is.
I think because like there's a weird sort of like the TVA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, TVA.
Yeah, Tennessee Valley Authority. Time Variance Authority.
Yeah, that's it. Because when you're there, it almost has like there's this journey into the afterlife kind of feel to it, at least to me. Mm-hmm. And you feel like an immensity to where the story can go. And it really takes you on a really cool ride.
Yeah.
And more than just, you know, turning a bad guy good, he's still himself. And then you've got all these great characters around him. And yeah. I have been absolutely blown away by Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson was flipping amazing in that show. I mean, ka-chow.
Yeah, right. That's it. When you hear Owen Wilson in a Marvel thing and you're thinking, oh my God, this is just going to be so terrible and corny. Like, no, I thought really showed some acting, you know, yeah. ability in this series.
And then the kid from Indiana Jones.
Yes. I can't pronounce his name, but
we played
Short Round.
Was it Ouroboros? Yeah.
Yeah, Ouroboros. Yeah.
Ouroboros.
He was Short Round in Indiana character. Jones, and he was he was also a character in Goonies.
Yep. Nothing ever happened. Nothing ever comes out of child actors.
Well, you know, and then the funny part is after, Loki season two, he did that movie. What was it? Everyone, Everywhere, All at the Same Time or something.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
Yes, that's it.
That was a long time before.
Right, but he got an Oscar for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but my understanding is that is the superior multiverse movie compared to Doctor Strange.
Okay. Well, yeah, and then we got Doctor Strange, which was...
I think it was a waste of Wanda, if you ask me.
Yeah.
It was okay, but really it was a waste of Wanda. Like, she just could have been such a better villain. She had real potential to be like an actual fully fleshed out villain, unlike the vast majority of Marvel villains, which are evil for, you know, because they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she was. She was evil because she was evil.
Right.
Like, it's like, why not just go to a universe where, you know, your kids are alive, but, you know, you died and just be you, you know, like what's his name does in Across the Spider-Verse, which, by the way, if you have not seen that movie, turn off this podcast right now and go watch it and then come back. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's probably been the best superhero movie put out since Endgame. Because since No Way Home.
Was it the first cartoon one or the second cartoon?
No, it was the second.
I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah, Into the Spider-Verse was the first one. Okay. Across the Spider-Verse was... Okay, stop recording with me right now and go watch it right now.
I don't know. Is Spider-Pig still in it?
Yes.
Okay, well, oh my gosh. Now it's worth it.
Yeah, Spider-Pig's there. Spider-Tyrannosaurus Rex. Spider-Lone Ranger. Yeah, I... You not like he Miles is literally getting chased by the entirety of the multiverse of Spider-Man, and then the Tyrannosaurus comes out of nowhere, and he's like, he's just gotten away from one really weird spider person. He's like, this is the weirdest thing ever. And then he sees a Tyrannosaurus Rex. No, wait, I was wrong. Really, really amazing show. So can't recommend that more.
And I haven't seen the trailer. I've seen little bits of it, but we've got coming out Agatha Always.
Agatha. Yeah, I haven't seen it. And besides you mentioning it to me yesterday that that was going to be a show, I had not heard about it.
What's it called?
What we got coming at us soon and fast is Deadpool.
Agatha and All
very
Along.
Likely Agatha All Along. Very likely Deadpool will be out before this podcast hits the screen.
Yes.
So Deadpool will bring that. I think that's going to be good.
You'd have to think so, because after the last Wolverine movie, Hugh Jackman, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman said like he was done. So it had to have been a pretty good story for him to want to come back for this and to finally wear the yellow outfit.
Yeah. Anything Ryan Reynolds is in. So, oh, what's his face from Ghostbusters? And he's also Ant-Man.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. If I could just get Ryan Reynolds and Paul Rudd in the same movie. I'm pretty sure it's happened. I just got to go find that and watch it. Those two guys. They are. And they're a different kind of hilarious, but I think they would probably key off each other pretty well.
Has the second Ghostbusters movie come out yet?
Yeah, Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
Not only is it out, I could have watched it on the latest airline flight I was on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how out it is, Bruce.
Jeez, must not have been that good then.
It was not.
Wow.
Unfortunately, so I think Pitch Meeting, if you've never encountered Pitch Meeting on YouTube, I recommend it. It's a time waster. But it had one of probably the best line about the problem with it is that the guy pitching the show just keeps naming characters. And the guy who's having the show pitch to him is like, stop, stop, please stop. He's like... So how much, is there a lot of ghost busting in this? Oh yeah, tons, right at the beginning and then right at the end. So none in the middle. No, we got to do character stuff with all these characters. So I'm like, oh my gosh. So yeah, that is the problem with Frozen Empire is there's not a lot of ghost busting that happens in it. Well, not even a ghost busting montage.
Well, I wasn't sold on the whole Frozen thing, you know. Ghost and the whole Frozen thing to begin with.
I mean, it's actually got a pretty fun backstory to it, like mystery aspect. It would have been nice if they'd busted some ghosts while they were doing that.
Because, I mean, like, Afterlife was, I thought, pretty good in that.
Afterlife was fun. Yeah,
it was fun. And then I enjoyed it Afterlife. Didn't just repeat a story. It kind of just it kept it going, you know, and did it in such a way. You're like, oh, that's OK. They leveled up the story, I thought. And then, and it had that touching tribute. So,
yeah.
But if this one's just to make sure they can get Rick Moranis and Sigourney Weaver and Janosch. And
yeah, they just kept jamming people into it.
I'm guessing Rick Moranis wasn't in it, because if he was, that would have been the huge, biggest story ever.
Rick Moranis. No, he was not. No.
Like I said, it would have been the biggest story ever, because he's been retired from movies since ever. Ever.
Well, you know, and the story behind that is his wife passed away and he retired to take care of his kids. But I assume at this point his kids are grown.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I don't know what he did with his money, but maybe he doesn't need it. But I think he would make a lot of people happy if he came back and did just a couple movies.
Oh, sure.
Found some good ones. And maybe they asked him and he looked at the script. And he's like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's what he said. He goes, it would have to be the right project for him to want to come back. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel the need to do it.
Right.
But I would think like doing something like a remake of like Canadian Bacon or something.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Even though they've done six of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah, they... They went down the Disney rabbit hole on that one.
They definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Dune 2 was amazing.
Yeah, cinematically, it was really, really good. I get that because of the length and depth of the story that they couldn't do everything, but I felt the only flaw in it was the lack of establishing how much time has passed in certain events.
Well, honestly, they shortened the the time span significantly.
Yeah.
Because it all happens before Jessica gives birth to Arya.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She's still pregnant at the end of the movie. Whereas in the books, Arya's like a 2 or 3 year old. I think she's a 3 year old when they have the confrontation with the Emperor. So they took what was basically a 3 year story in Dune, the second part of that book, and shortened it to 8 months.
Right. Right. Because like, wasn't it like years between the first half of that book and then the second half?
Yeah. Yeah. Paul basically goes around, like he spends almost a year in the Southern Sieges kind of gaining support and, you know, one by one converting the Nabes.
Mm-hmm.
Converting the Nabes so that they follow him. Like, whereas in this, it's like that one big scene at that huge gathering.
Right. But that gathering does happen, and it happens the way, you know, that it ends up. Like, he knew that that guy was going to challenge him and that, you know, he would talk him out of it.
It does. It's a lot later in the game, though.
Yeah.
Or a lot later in time.
Right.
Right.
And then the whole Paul drinking the, was it Water of Life?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that happens. It just felt like that happens in the book. It happens in a more grandiose and more complicated way than it ends up happening in the movie.
I actually thought the movie did a pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of what I remember in the books, Paul kind of sneaks off and does it
mm-hmm.
like and he gets berated by both his mom and Chani.
Right.
Like, what in the do you think you were doing? Kind of a thing. I thought the movie handled that pretty well.
But doesn't he taint it? Like,
well, that's sort of like that's what you have to do, right? Like you take in the water of life and then you have to chemically alter it. So it turns from a poison into, you know, the spice, whatever it is.
Well, OK, but I thought he did something like where he was like he almost obliterates no, I don't know where I'm getting that from.
And he basically goes into like a week long coma while he's doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, how things move in that book versus the way they did in the movie.
Right.
It all happens kind of fast in the movie.
Yeah, it does.
But I mean, cinematically, it was fantastic and they got enough of the story right that I enjoyed it so much so that I'm looking forward to they're going to make a HBO Max series about the creation of the Bene Gesserit, and there's going to be a Dune MMO coming out that I'm looking forward to.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've loved watching both of those movies, though.
My main problem with the second movie was Chani's characterization.
That too.
Yeah, she was enough different from her book version that it irked me.
Mm-hmm. Especially at the end.
Yes. Yeah, her kind of rejecting Paul and going off on her own, that is completely out of character for the book version of her.
Right.
And
they both
don't
knew
like that.
What was going to happen, and they both accepted what was going to happen. And she accepted that Paul was going to marry Irulan, because she knew that Paul still loved her more. Loved her and didn't even love Irulan.
Yep.
But instead, this one, she walks off in a huff and then decides to go ride the mighty sandworm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a metaphor for something, I'm sure.
So because maybe that's also something, too, is her conversion in the movie. Like, she doesn't put up that much of a fight after a certain point, you know?
No, she really doesn't. She kind of just accepts it.
Right. And she just more shows fear of losing, you know, Paul.
Right. Yeah. Especially after the Water of Life and then after their first son dies.
Right. Which they never mentioned in this movie.
Yeah. That never happens, basically.
Right. Because
they're never really married. Like, because in the book, he's out there 3 years. They basically get married, if I remember correctly.
Right.
By Fremen custom or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a child and their child dies because of the Harkonnens.
Yep.
And so that's a big part of it that's missing. And so they're not, which is problematic because
it'll take away from the next movie that they're going to do and why they're so protective of their child.
Right. And well, and why Chani is willing to do what she does in order to give him the twins.
Right.
Which is she takes the spice in order to increase the likelihood of pregnancy, but it causes a problematic pregnancy for her. If we're spoiling it for you, too bad. This is like a 60-year-old book at this point. go read Dune or Dune, Children of Dune. So she ends up dying in pregnancy, and all that is explained because of she hasn't borne him his, you know, she had a son with him who died, and now she doesn't have anybody. And now she has Irulan. She's in her mind competing with, even though Paul's like, yeah, whatever. I'm not interested in having children with Irulan.
Right. And because the thing is that Chani doesn't understand that way of thinking, because she's not from that world. She's from, you know. But Paul understands that world. He's like, I don't need to be in love with her. I just need to be married to her, so that way I can do what I need to do.
Yep.
Politically.
So I can be emperor.
Right. So, yeah.
How do you feel about Christopher Walken as Shaddam?
It was fine. I don't think there was I don't think he was in it enough for me to really, you know, say it was bad. I don't think, and I think that's where the problem was. There wasn't enough shown of him in that role to make you feel one way or the other. You know, I don't even know if there was really potential there. But I don't hate the decision.
Yeah, I was fine with it, to be honest. I thought he did a good job with what he was given.
Yeah. I mean, he was an old man, an old emperor, you know.
Yeah.
Then why have you heard otherwise? You heard people.
There's some people who really hated the choice, and I'm like, okay, maybe.
I mean, because from what I remember in the books, you don't get a whole lot more than what you got, you know, in.
I feel like you get even less in the books from Dune. You basically get the throne room scene, and that's about it.
Right. So, I mean, you had a noteworthy actor in the role. Yeah, there's nothing really there to be, you know, it's not like when you told me about the Lord of the Rings Amazon series and how they they mess with Smokey with some of the characters there.
Yeah, how still burningly angry I am about Galadriel, like on fire mad about how much they butchered her character. Yeah. So Rings of Power season 2 is coming out at the end of August. Kind of coincide with the end of House of the Dragon. That's exactly what they did last season. Hey, you don't. So it's funny because I also watched season 1 of the other Amazon fantasy show, The Wheel of Time. And I watched season 1 of that. And so it was like Wheel of Time, House of the Dragon, and then Rings of Power. So you could watch fantasy shows for pretty much the whole year, or at least like a good 8 months of it. And this year I have not been watching the second season of Wheel of Time. I watched the first episode, and because I didn't read the books, so it's not like grabbing me from that perspective. I am kind of curious about how some of the stuff's going to happen. I haven't been watching House of the Dragon. I do plan on watching it, but I will probably watch the second season of Rings of Power. And the first season, the cinematography is really good, really good. The production value is really good. The costuming's great. The music is phenomenal. The storyline isn't that bad. It's okay. Some of the storyline sucks. Like all the stuff with the Hobbit forerunners, the Harfoots, is kind of like, eh. With the wizard that nobody's sure if they're going to make him Gandalf, if they're going to make him one of the blue wizards. He better be one of the blue wizards because he's not Gandalf. But either way, totally wrong time frame. Elrond was fine, but they butchered some of the characters very, very hard. Galadriel probably the most. They made her effectively warrior princess Galadriel, who is just always angry and always trying to find and kill Sauron or orcs or Morgoth or whoever. She's on this eternal quest given to her by her brother who, you know, died at the hands of Sauron to free Beren, if I remember correctly. And it's just stupid. Like, like it doesn't match her characterization in any of Tolkien's stuff. Like, you know, we meet her at the 5,000 year old point. In Lord of the Rings, she's been around for about 5,000 years at that point. In, you know, the Silmarillion, we get to see her in her youth and what she does there. It doesn't really match her characterization, you know, because by the time of the Rings of Power, she's at least 1,000, if not 2,000 years old. She's seen some stuff, man. You would figure she'd be a little more tempered and wise and prudent than she is to portray in the show. So, and the Sauron storyline was kind of dumb too.
Huh.
To be 100%.
Well, you think there was somebody's storyline that shouldn't be meh, it'd be Sauron's, but
right. Yeah. And that was the problem. I think that was the main. And so that is the main thrust of the second season and why some of the writers have basically said, we're giving you the show we should have given you last season, is because I think they're doing Sauron's story correctly, which is, if you watch the trailer, it's basically when they're showing all the stuff, they're talking about Sauron, about how he kind of worms his way into your mind and affects how you think. And that is Sauron. Like, that is Sauron in the second age. That's what he does. He gets into the mind of the elves with the creation of the rings, and he gets into the mind of the men in Numenor and causes them to rebel against the Valar, which results in the destruction of Numenor. And that's what he does. He's kind of the Milton version of Satan, where he's very convincing and he has these great philosophical arguments and he worms his way into your head. You know, at the end of the day, you're like, wait a minute, that would be betraying God. No, I'm not doing that. Yeah. So I am somewhat looking forward to season two of Rings of Power, but I think season one is worth it for the visuals, to be honest, the visuals and the music. If you could somehow turn off the dialogue and just watch that, that would be fun. And Elrond's plot line is fun. He hangs out with the dwarves. The dwarf stuff is kind of good. Like I said, Galadriel and Sauron's storyline is kind of dumb. So is the Harfoot stuff. Interestingly enough, one of the characters whose plot line is the most interesting is the actual bad guy from the season, and that's Adar, who's a fully made character by the writers, but he's one of the first orcs. So he's an elf who's been like utterly twisted into orcdom. And one of the first of the orcs, and so he's just a very interesting character. And basically Mordor is his idea. He's like, I need a place for my people, which is the orcs, without the sun. And so he kind of sets up a whole land that's covered in ash all the time. And that is the main plot line that's going on in the background of the entirety of season one. And it's probably the most interesting plot line. Other than that, I've been watching baseball games.
Yeah. Yep. Well, no, I haven't been able to watch baseball games because I got rid of cable TV. Oh, Bally Sports, how I hate you.
Yeah. Good grief.
Well, because I'm in this great little spot where Bally Sports always on advertising, hey, use our streaming service, right? And so now I'm in this crossroads where I can't use the streaming service to watch baseball games for the Guardians unless I have a cable subscription.
Right, because you're local.
Right.
Right.
And it's like, then what's the point of the streaming service?
Yeah, it's like my, it's not Sling. I have Sling, right, that I got for college football.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been able to watch most sports on it, to be honest. Not all sports, but most, except for local sports ball games. So the Rangers, the Cowboys, you know, fortunately, I can get the Cowboys on the antenna. I can't get the Rangers on the antenna. They're not on the major networks like the Cowboys are. So it's just no end of anger.
Well, and then, about, you know, like that. MLB.TV, you know, they're advertising all these great, you know, promotions and whatnot. And it's like, yes, but that does mean absolutely no good.
Yeah.
There's no point into your service unless, and that's only because I don't watch every baseball game. I just want to watch the ones for the Guardians. Yeah. I'd have to live in a different state for that to be, you know, worthwhile to do, in order to be able to watch anything.
Yeah. Alternatively, set up your TV connected to a computer, stream through the computer, and VPN yourself into Canada,
right?
Or just, you know, the United Kingdom or something.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure it doesn't work there either for some other stupid law. Yeah. You can tell I'm not bitter about this. So, XFL season, I believe, has come to an end, or it's not XFL anymore. USL.
USFL.
No, it's not USL. It's just USL. When they combined the XFL and the USFL, they turned it into the USL. Let's see who won. It was between like the Brahmas and San Antonio and somebody else. Oh, UFL, United Football League, not USL. Sorry.
You said you have a Sling?
Mm-hmm.
You can watch Brockmire on that.
I saw like season one.
Oh, just season one?
Yeah, it didn't have more than that.
Hmm. Well, that's awful.
Right?
It also says AMC Plus, so maybe they got the whole series there. Sorry, I was just remembering that we're talking about streaming services and crap. I was like, well, what are we going to watch?
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. Stallions versus the Brahmas. So, Birmingham Stallions versus the San Antonio Brahmas. Who won? Because it was back on June 16th, I think. Championship. Stallions. The Brahman. Yeah. The Birmingham Stallions won 2024 UFL Championship game. 25-0 shutout. Wow. Okay, then. But they won the USFL championship as well. So they've been a pretty dominant team. The XFL champion from the prior year, the Arlington Renegades, did awful. I think they won a single game the entire season. I was going to try and go to 3 to 4 games at the end of the season, but they were doing so badly, I opted not to. So there is a lot of truth in the winning teams bring in more spectators. Speaking of which, the Mavericks lost in the finals to the Celtics. They didn't quite go down. They weren't swept. They won a single game,
yeah,
which they were somehow completely dominant in that game. But otherwise, they went down. They were just not as good.
Well,
just how it is.
Let's see. The Florida Panthers almost lost the Stanley Cup after being up 3-0. And that series went to 7. But yeah, the Florida Panthers beat the Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, the Panthers won it?
Yep.
Oh, that sucks. I was really pulling for the Oilers.
Just so Canada could get one.
Right. Just so the Stanley Cup hasn't been in Canada for like 20 years.
And I can tell you one of the first images I've seen and I haven't done a whole lot of looking. I just happened to come across it. Was that, so if you don't know about the Stanley Cup, is that each player on the winning team gets one full day with the cup. And in this is, so the Florida Panthers play out of basically Fort Lauderdale. It's not quite Miami, but it's close enough.
Yeah.
There's a video of the guy, of one of the Panthers players with the Stanley Cup at a bar during the day on South Beach. Fills the top of the cup with I'm guessing beer, and the guy, and this is on the second floor, and some guy down on, like, you know, the ground saying, "Hey, pour me a drink," and sure enough the guy dunks the, you know, tips the cup over, and the guy drinks beer from the Stanley Cup from, you know, from the second floor.
from a floor. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and apparently, you know, people get pretty crazy with that Stanley Cup.
I'll bet. I'll bet it's very similar to what a blue collar a group of blue collar does guys do on a weeknight when they're away for work. With Elmo.
And then, speaking of hockey, if you're looking for a series to watch, there's one on Hulu called Shorzy. They just finished season 3.
As long as you're okay with a lot of language.
Oh my God, so much language. But it's such a great hockey show. I mean, it shows like hockey, like the best parts of hockey, you know?
Yeah. Just like Brockmire is to baseball.
Right. Shorzy is to hockey.
Shorzy is to hockey.
The funny part is I found out that the town is called Sudbury, Ontario. It's a real place.
Oh, wow.
Did you watch any of it?
No, I have not.
Oh, okay. In it, they one of the places they go to is Pepe Panini, and it's a real restaurant there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm like, well, damn, one of these days I'm going to have to go to Sudbury, you know, Ontario.
That's how he lost his liver.
Speaking of, Pat and the Fat Man are going to sea this year.
Yep. Gonna go out on a boat. Gonna be on a boat. I'm on a boat. Yeah. Take bike, gym,
full drink packages. So.
Yep.
It's gonna be a time. The drink package
costed more than the stateroom. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good time.
Guinness for breakfast every morning.
Yep. I'll have a Guinness. Sir, we don't even have that on board. Well, get moving. Get swimming.
No, they got it. It's in the can, but they got it.
Yeah, it's better if it's in a keg, but I'll take in a can over in a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baseball's going. See if
we can maybe record an episode while we're on the boat.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Baseball's going. We're halfway through the season. Guardians still on top. Last I saw was 6.5 games in first. Not sure if that's still the case. They won today. Yay.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Texas Rangers are not doing great. They're not doing awful, but they're not doing great.
Yeah. 5.5 out for them.
They are beating the Angels currently 4-3 right now, but it's only the fourth inning, so...
Let's see. Our lead's down to 5.5 games. I'd like to see us get a little better than that.
Yeah, we're behind the Astros now and the Mariners. We were above the Astros for a while there.
Funny enough, the Texas Rangers are going to host the All-Star game here in about a week, yep. And they got nobody on the All-Star team.
Yep, nobody on, no starters. They've got a couple guys on the team, but no starters.
Oh, there you go.
No starters on the team, unfortunately. Simeon was close. He's the number two.
What position does he play?
Second base.
Okay. Wasn't beat by one of my guys.
We're sadly just not as good this year as we were last year. However, it's still early. So if we have a really good July and a good August and then a decent September, or even just an okay July and then a really good August and September, we could be back on top. It's
well, that's
it's
why baseball, I said folks. Like 5.5 games, you know, and it's just now July. So I'm like, oof, I'd like us to have a little better lead. So that way we could take a week off in September.
Yeah. Although the Rangers did that and it almost cost them the whole thing.
Yeah. I have not gone to a game yet this year. It's kind of surprising, but with this job.
Yeah. Well, it's been crazy for me has been how early, if I want like the free giveaway stuff, I got to get to games at least 1.5 hours early.
Yeah.
At a minimum. For some of the stuff, you can get there like 1 hour early. But even for like the shirts and the bobbleheads and stuff, at least 1 hour, save for if you're there 1.5 hours early. And then for the they're giving away these World Series replica rings, which are actually they're pretty hefty. They're like they're actually made of metal. It's not plastic. it's you know, probably cheap metal like aluminum or something, but it's heavy. Yeah. And they look like the World Series rings, and they have one for each of the players that they're giving away as you know, the season goes on. And those games, you got to get there a minimum of 2 to 2.5 hours early if you want to get your ring. We got there. I got there 1 hour early for one of them, so we missed that one. And so for the next one, we got there about 2 hours and 15 minutes early. So right when we walked up to the gates was when they started letting people in. And we were a good 20 minutes from where we got in line to get in to when we got to the door. And we got in when we got our rings, me and Maria. And Maria has since sold hers to my boss. $100, which is a decent price on eBay right now.
Right.
Yeah. So like it's insane. You know, it's funny. The last year we were in the old ballpark, which was only 4 or 5 years ago, me and Maria showed up to the second to last game and they were giving away replica ballparks with the Jumbotron showing like the last time they'd won the American League championship, you know, the pitcher and the catcher hugging or whatever. And we showed up in the third or fourth inning.
And they still had
them. Right. We still got them.
Yeah, it's amazing what winning will do for you.
I know. Right. So it's crazy.
But isn't that like the great, like football? They don't do that. Football games. They don't hand out nothing.
No, you don't get nothing.
You don't get nothing. Baseball, man. Yeah. They hand out jerseys. They hand out, like, I wanted to go to the July 3rd game because they had Hawaiian shirts they were giving away, you know, bobbleheads and stuff like that. You know, that's what's great.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because they have all these things they give away for free. And then on top of that, they have special tickets you can buy
to get that include stuff like a hat or a shirt or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, and I missed out because they had a Texas A&M co-branded Rangers shirt.
Oh, wow.
And it sold out before I got my ticket, unfortunately.
Oh.
But they've had a couple pins that I've gotten. There's been a couple other ones. Oh, yeah. There's one of one of our pitchers, Max Scherzer, riding a shark for a Shark Week. it's pretty cool. Micah unfortunately dropped it and broke it in five pieces, but I glued it back together.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what the Patman's been up to.
Yeah.
Living life.
It's coming at us hard, you know, these days.
Hard and fast.
Hopefully we'll get some more content out of us here in the next few weeks. We're still going to work on the Carl Weathers thing, Predator movie, because thankfully that's only been not even quite 6 months since he passed. So feels longer, but so
we're doing Predator, and we're doing, what was the other one? That was the Predator was what the Patreons wanted us to do. Mm-hmm. And Officer and a Gentleman.
Yes.
Is that the one? I want to say yes. That's the one the Facebook folks wanted us to do. So,
oh, but that's not Carl Weathers. That's something else.
No, though. that was another guy who passed away, actor.
Luke Gossett Jr.? That has to be it.
I thought it was Officer and Gentleman.
Yeah. Two big time African-American actors passing away that close to each other.
Yeah. March
29, 2024. Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to do Officer and a Gentleman in honor of him.
A month and almost 2 months after Carl Weathers passed away. Wow.
Yep. And then I think, you know, we wanted to do a Patreon episode. We had one recommended to us for doing the first or the pilot episode for not Farscape. Was it Farscape?
I think so. Because I know you mentioned Farscape at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking at doing that for the patrons. And then we're probably going to pick another Disney show, or maybe we'll pick an Amazon show. Maybe we'll do The Boys. I'll probably watch season 4. It's coming out, but we'll pick a show and we'll do that. If you have any suggestions, you know, we've got a Facebook, Pat and the Fat Man, or a website, patandthefatman.com. You can email us at patandthefatman@gmail.com, and the Fat Man has a Twitter, Fatman
1428.
1428. Whatever. And then Instagram, Pat and the Fat Man. So plenty of ways to get a hold of us if you have suggestions or ideas about TV shows you'd like to do, and become a patron. For only $1 a month, you could support our endeavor to do super deep dives into shows. And we really appreciate all of our patrons who feel like we entertain you enough to be worth a dollar, at least a dollar, if not more, a month. All of that goes to pay our editor. If we ever get to the point where we have more money than we pay our editor, we're going to figure out how to do give backs to the fans. But as it stands, we don't have enough patrons. So please consider becoming a patron of Pat and the Fat Man on Patreon. And you can get there from our website, patandthefatman.com. And this has been another episode of Pat and the Fat Man. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Yeah.
It's not because it's all bright and sunny and happy and cheerful up there. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Da 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 da. Oh my god! Why?